is the Freedom Kings, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Iron Hamster and Sinister Bookworm? Can you feel it? And by the way, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. And this is the Laughing Kitty. I hadn't been around for a while. A little while, anyway.
It's good to have you back.
Yeah, just...
How do you feel? I want to hear in song how you feel.
Like a virgin. Hey!
There you go.
Touch Dan, for the very first time.
Dan, what is Barack Obama?
I believe him to be a liar, a socialist, and I also understand that his feet stink.
Yeah, you got the equivalent of him with the stinky feet over there in the UK. Scotland.
Cameron. Oh, well, David Cameron is a socially inept, top hat wearing, fun hating android.
Does he really wear a top hat?
I assume he does, any chance there's not a camera on him. I assume he's got a top hat on. He's that.
And any time there's not a camera on him, he's wearing a top hat.
And nothing else.
And nothing else.
That's a funny
bow tie. Yeah.
You can leave your hat on.
What's that?
I don't know. Some skanky song from the '70s or something.
From the Full Monty. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It is.
I don't know that.
It's a British comedy about male strippers. You'd love it.
It's really good. It's very, very funny.
I think there should be a British comedy about Dan working for the Royal Mail. You know, did you know, Dan, that the Royal Mail are in their 499th year? Next year is their 500th anniversary.
I did not know that. You'd think I would know that.
Next year?
I might try that. I might float that and work and see how it goes down. It probably won't go very well, but... You never know.
I'm just curious how the Royal Mail works compared to the U.S. Postal Service.
Well, Dan's going to tell you it's a private organization, but so is the U.S. Mail, for that matter. And it's really not. I mean, it's like technically on paper, the way the mafia of the government has organized their org chart, it is. But, you know, it's kind of like the Federal Reserve. You know, people say, it's not really the government. Yeah, it is. Try not using it. And as we know from the Royal Mail, as we know of the Royal Mail from the show Peep Show, which we're going to discuss, burning the Royal Post is like burning a swan. Isn't that true?
Apparently, I understand it to be quite illegal, although people do it anyway. The amount of times I've gone to collect post boxes and somebody's thrown a cigarette in there or something.
Really?
I've seen that a few times.
Well, Chris Cantwell wants you dead. He wants to shoot mailmen. He said that.
Bring it on, Cantwell.
Bring it on. I'll meet you at, tell him to meet you at your town square tomorrow at Pistols at Dawn.
Oh, yeah, that was something you said. That was something you said a while back. Now he would probably just call the police to shoot the mailman, right?
Yeah, he would. He's become a full-on Trump-supporting fascist. And, you know, we're going to talk about the origins of the left-right split in America, of this false dichotomy where you have to choose either right-wing fascism or left-wing socialism and nothing in between. And America is basically coming up on what is probably going to be the election that cements that, because it's likely going to be, I can't even say the names, man. Trump versus, what's his name? Barry Sorito? No. Barry Goldwater? No. What's
Bernie
his name?
Sanders.
Bernie Sanders. Yeah. So literally going to be... It's going to be a fascist who wants to deport 10% of the country, or, you know, it's going to be a socialist who can't do math, who wants everything to be free and wants to collapse the economy. So really, I mean, that's the choice. And supporters of both sides are really like chest pumpingly angry and righteous. Like, if my guy wins, you're going to have to do what my guy says, even though it's antithetical to what you believe, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and that movie, and then the movie that we're talking about is the Best of Enemies, is a documentary about a debate between, or a series of debates, actually. I don't know if I would necessarily call them debates. They weren't really in a debate format necessarily, but it was Gore Vidal and William Buckley Jr. going at each other's throats. William Cuckley Jr. going at each other's throats for 10 nights prior to the Republican and the Democratic conventions in 68. And it was equally sad, disgusting, and hilarious.
And, you know, the one good thing I could say about these two is, and you know, to give more information, Gore Vidal was representing the left, and William F. Buckley was representing the right. And this was, okay, when I was a kid.
And neither of which really had much of an identity up to that point.
Yeah.
The left and the right. Yeah.
Buckley did, I mean, they kind of did, but they in a different way. And this was kind of around the time they were defining. Well, for one thing, the Democratic Party before 1964 was straight up racist.
Yeah.
I mean, the Democratic Party still had a lot of KKK influence in it. Mm-hmm. You know, the KKK were Southern Democrats.
Right.
You know, the Republican guy freed the slaves. And it's kind of been reversed now to where, like, the liberals are all, oh, I'm so politically correct and I love all races. And, you know, the right wing are kind of like using dog whistle terms that they hope only their followers will understand so they can, you know, there's actually a dog whistle term that's used a lot in here by the Democrats. And dog whistle term is a term that like different means different things to different people. But there's a term that's used a lot in this of politicians left and right. Calling for law and order. And what that basically means is beat up the blacks and beat up the white student protesters protesting the war and throw them all in prison.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a scene right before the Democratic convention in Chicago where was it Mayor Daley was talking about, you know, that he would have law and order in Chicago. And I'm not sure if that was during the riots or before the riots started, but it was just kind of ironic. Yeah.
And his son is the mayor now. There's a dynasty and his son is just as egregious. And, you know, I mean, what's going on under him there? Rahm Emanuel is, you know, knowing that cops are shooting unarmed kids and there's video of it and sweeping it under the rug.
Right.
So, yeah, Buckley. Okay, the thing about Buckley and Vidal is, did you see this movie, Dan?
I didn't know.
Okay, they're both kind of equally, like, sticky and, like, make me go, ugh.
Slimy, yeah.
The thing is, though, and this is something you really don't see, like they were kind of inventing Fox News and inventing MSNBC in these interviews. Like, these 10 interviews were the template for left versus right scream media.
Right.
And,
right.
And
at the end, they kind of show snippets from the various news networks, you know, MSNBC and Fox News.
How it followed that,
Everybody's just screaming at each other.
Yeah.
It's just...
And... Okay, these two were a lot smarter and a lot more intellectual than most people on TV now.
Yeah.
And they kind of were alike. They both had this kind of like what's called Long Island lockjaw, which is it's actually called a mid-Atlantic accent. And it's an accent that was dying out in the early 60s. It's something that like
Jeffrey Tucker kind of talks like that.
He kind of does. If you go back to the 40s, it was something that was taught. It was taught to people who were on radio and on TV, basically because it cut through, like, before the technological, like, before there was digital sound, like, when everything was analog, and like, it didn't work as well as everything does now, and you had to kind of cut through it, you know, they would teach you to speak like this, and it's kind of like, Well, frankly, I would never get into an argument with someone as lowly as you. And it's like that. And it's basically, it's kind of a little bit of an English accent, but American.
Yeah. Right.
And it literally is a made up, taught form of talking that was taught in East Coast prep schools. Mm-hmm. And these guys both went to East Coast prep schools. These guys both came from rich families. They both came from extremely, they are the elite, both
right,
of them.
Right, exactly.
Like, literally. Yeah. These are not the common man. And Gore Vidal was gay as the day is long, but William F. Buckley sounds gayer than Gore Vidal, especially if you have this kind of like East Coast, New York City post what these guys are, you know. There was kind of a backlash that I kind of, even though I went to prep school, I was kind of like, they weren't teaching that anymore. And it was kind of like, if you sound like an intellectual, you must be a faggot, that kind of thing. but these two guys try to stay civil through the whole thing. And in the end of it, tense, man.
Yeah, Vidal calls Buckley a crypto-Nazi.
Which means a hidden Nazi. Like, you're hiding the fact that you're a Nazi.
Buckley lost it, man. I mean, just completely. And one of the things I will say that I did admire about Vidal's style was that he kept his cool. I mean, he really did. And I mean, and you could tell that he was beyond pleased that he had gotten that kind of rise out of Buckley.
And one of the things that was
the saddest to me was the obsession that kind of both of them had for the other until they died. You know, it was just really kind
of. They were suing each other till they died.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah.
And then the last thing I think that that Vidal wrote, like kind of an obituary type thing, said, "Rest in peace, you know, William F. Buckley in hell."
Yeah. Too soon. Yeah.
God, it was just miserable. It's like, how does. I don't understand. I guess I just in general don't understand how people live like that. And there are people like that. There are a lot of people like that that seem to thrive on that animosity and hatred.
Not me, man. I found out recently I have high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. So I measured it before the show.
Yeah, you just need to like let go and breathe.
I should just tweet it every hour. 160 over 96. That's what I'm at now. Yeah. I will be back.
Meow.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
We're on the air. We're back.
And front. My coffee pot just died.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's why you need a French press.
People try. Okay. I just told you I have high blood pressure, and you're trying to encourage me to take the drug of caffeine quicker than I'm taking it already. You hate me, don't you?
No.
I seem dead.
No, but I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I guess that's probably caffeine's probably not the best thing for you. I forgot. Yeah. You sound so healthy. I mean,
maybe. Maybe. So we're talking about this movie called The Best of Enemies. Great title, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me more about your thoughts on this. It's the it's about the Gore Vidal debate mm-hmm. series in 1968 with William F. Buckley, 10 nights. On ABC. Now, there are a couple things to note. One is no ABC, NBC, CBS news channel would ever do anything like that now. And this was basically what it was NBC and CBS were the front-running popular networks at the time. ABC right. was so far in third that they were said to be fourth out of three. And people also joked, if you want to end the Vietnam War, put it on ABC and it'll be canceled in 6 weeks. So ABC good. Didn't have the access or the money to have the like 24/7. Well, actually it was back when there were only three channels. Okay, you have to remember
this. They went off the air.
They went off the air at night. They were on like 14 hours a day, and they went off the air at night.
And you got the Indian guy.
Yeah, you got the. If you want to go search on YouTube, if you don't remember this, if you're too young to remember this, go search on YouTube. Television sign off, and there's a whole bunch of them on there. And I remember these when I was a kid. And the sign off,
national
in the
anthem.
They'd play the national anthem. And they'd show the Blue Angels flying overhead. They'd show Mount Rushmore, and then they'd go to a still test battered black and white of a Native American, which we called an Indian back then. An Indian. They'd show his head for 12 hours until dawn, and then they'd play the national anthem and show Niagara Falls and show people watching the moon landing.
Pikes Peak,
and maybe some local things to make you proud. Do they have that, Dan, where you live, or is there, are you too young and don't remember when TV went off air?
No, they do have that. It just wasn't as patriotic as how you're describing it. You know, it was more just like the channel's done for the night.
Let me tell you, the indoctrination is strong with this country.
It really is, and it's weird too. Like you'd think that the UK would have his strong nationalism, but. I don't know. I think they get you earlier in the UK to where just like you think the Queen is your actual mother, where they don't have to be as pushy all the time with it. So
I don't remember. Yep. I don't remember where I read this, but recently read something about a kid or parents being encouraged in the UK to report on their children if they start acting, different, like if they start, listening to weird music in their rooms by themselves and, freedom fiends and dressing differently.
Let me tell you one thing. There's this thing coming in Scotland called the named person scheme, whereby they're going to have a government representative for every child under the age of 18.
Is that really going to happen?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of kind of groups supposed to it.
Everything is just surreal these days. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
It is.
God.
Terrifying, man.
Interesting time to be alive. I mean, yeah, in a way, there's like more terrifying government intervention, it seems, than there's ever been. But in a way, there's more freedom than there's ever been, too. I mean, we literally would not be able to do what we're doing on the radio right now at any point in history in any country in the world, probably.
If you did this
during World War II in America, you would have been rounded up, like put in jail. In World War I, especially. Yeah. And in the 60s, you probably would have gotten a brick through your window for being anti-war. It's an interesting time to be alive.
It is an interesting time. And it was funny because before the show started, Dan and I were chatting a little bit about Trump, Donald Trump. Yeah. And how he kind of hopes that he gets elected president, because then it would be the sign, it would be that the apocalypse is even closer.
Yeah. There's a phrase, most of our listeners are aware of the word cuck, meaning cuckold, meaning the husband of a wife who's cheating. And it's actually like a weird kink. Like there are husbands who want to encourage and watch that, which sounds like the saddest thing in the world to me. But cuck is used as an insult, but there's also cuck servative, which is a conservative that's not like it. Conservatives use that term for conservatives that are kind of intellectual. And I wonder if Cuckley, William F. Cuckley, should be a tag, a hashtag. Cuckley.
His wife is kind of hot when she was young.
Alternative to those other shows.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends. And so I just killed my coffee maker. It died. I don't know how. I burned. I go through them, you know.
And then I tried to kill you by suggesting a French press.
Yeah, no. my coffee maker tried to suggest that, and I killed it. No, it just died. So I'm ordering another one here on Amazon. You know, there's this weird thing that I see a lot on Amazon. Okay, like one Mr. Coffee BDMC coffee maker is $29.74. Yeah, totally doable.
BDSM coffee maker? What?
BVMC. No. But then there's also like available from another store, $280.
On the same site, yeah.
And I see this a lot. I see it on eBay. I see it on Amazon. You know, always. Like, there'll be something that costs $30. They'll have it from four different stores between $30 and $35. And then they'll have it from one other store for, like, $700 or something. I think that's a scammy business model that somebody has where they, like, you know, maybe there's some retail stores that go buy one of every, like, I think it's to trick robots into buying things. It must be. Why would a person look at this and go, oh, I want the one that's 20 times as much, you know? I don't get it. So yeah. Beware of that, people.
I had a similar experience. I was actually buying a toy for, you know how
BDSM?
Not a BDSM toy. No, a child's toy, actually. For one of these, where they have like the angel tree kind of thing. And I like to do that every Christmas. And so I went to buy one and accidentally had it shipped to my old address.
Yeah.
And they weren't able to have it, you know, shipped to my new address. And so all they could do was just refund me. But then I had to go buy another one. Although the cheaper one was no longer in stock. And so I had to buy a more expensive one. Because this is what this kid wanted. It was like a little puppy toy thingy. But anyway, I just thought that, yeah, I kind of came across that a little bit too. It wasn't quite as dramatic as your situation, but.
Yeah, yeah. My dramatic situation. Man, I can't get this overnight. I want this overnight. I want it here now. I want a drone to drop off my front porch tonight.
Well, wasn't Amazon going to do that? Use drones or something?
I think they're actually doing it, but it's like, you know, limited in one city areas. And you have to set up. Yeah. Yeah.
In the Alaskan bush or something?
No, I think it was in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. But we got 50-mile-an-hour winds here tonight. I don't think a drone would do well. So we were talking about this movie, Best of Enemies, about the debates on TV in 1968 mm-hmm. between Gore Vidal and William F. Buckley.
And that's Buckley. What they sound like, too.
They do sound like that, yes. Yes. There's actually a character on Family Guy.
Family Guy, yeah.
He has a long jaw. And yeah, what's his name?
I think his last name is Long Jaw.
Yeah, yeah.
Winston Longjaw or something
is
like
it?
That.
Family Guy Longjaw. No, his name is James William Bottomtooth III. It's got to be a takeoff from William F. Buckley somehow. William F. Buckley Jr. There was a William F. Buckley Sr. I don't know much about him, but I'll bet he was even more...
I'll tell you one of the interesting things I thought about the movie was, and there were points that I agreed with from both, and I have to admittedly say that I agreed with more with Vidal,
of course,
because I'm definitely anti-war, and Buckley was an extreme warmonger to the nth degree. I mean, talking about nuking China and North Korea and North Vietnam, and oh, gosh. Okay, so that just slipped my mind. I apologize what I was about to say.
Did you have a brain fart?
I'll come back to it, yeah.
No, I'll just pick it up and run with it. Okay, so Buckley, this is interesting. Buckley was considered a libertarian as well as a conservative, which is disgusting to me because I guess back then libertarian only meant economically, and he wasn't even really economically a libertarian. He was an economic libertarian in the same sense that Ronald Reagan was, which was basically what they called trickle-down economics, which Reagan's advisors said was, you know, give tax breaks to the rich and it'll trickle down to the poor. And I've just heard trickle-down economics called the rich peeing on the poor. But there was nothing libertarian about Buckley to me. Yeah. He was socially conservative and economically liberal. He was conservative on both counts. He was economically and fiscally and socially conservative. Fiscally.
We gotcha.
Yeah.
But I remember what I was going to say, though. You know, Vidal talked a lot about empire building and that, you know, so much money, you know, that is spent basically, you know, building the American empire. And what I thought was interesting was that Buckley's brother admitted that that was true, that what he said about that was true.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, really, I think there's nothing conservative about empire building. And the better founding fathers of America, you know, including Madison and Jefferson, felt that way and felt that, you know, a standing army was dangerous. They felt that, you know, interventionism was dangerous. And conservatives around the 60s started adopting the complete opposite view, you know,
neocons.
America have to be
the
police of the world. Yeah. And Buckley was, it'd be hard to really call him a neocon solidly, but he helped encourage it, I'd say.
Yeah. He was they referred to him as a kingmaker once he got in with Reagan.
Yeah.
The problem is that they both, you know, Vidal accused Buckley of wanting only the elite to rule. But if, you know, Vidal had had his opportunity, you know, who would be ruling? The elite, of course. So, I mean, I think he was a hypocrite on that front for sure.
Yeah. You know, there was actually a rumor that that William F. Buckley's magazine, National Review, was a CIA front. Have you ever heard that?
I don't know if I have heard that.
Yeah. All right. So moving right along, speaking of the left-right split and how it's just wrong no matter what, and it asks the wrong questions and divides people who don't even need to be divided. Not saying we agree with either side of it, but you know, there's a misnomer that libertarians have the best of both worlds of the left and the right. I don't agree with that. I think that might be true of libertarians. Did I say libertarians? Of libertarian party members, but not true libertarians.
Right.
You know? I would say I have, I'm far to the left of the left on anti-war and legalization of drugs.
Social
and I'm
issues,
far
yeah.
to the mm-hmm. right of the right on laissez-faire economics.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? The same way. Yeah. So in a way he's kind of, it's almost in a way you almost embody both, but there are pieces that are not there for both.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
well, both want to rule, you know, the left and the
exactly.
right really want to rule. And
they
it's really coming
want-
out more. I'm noticing it so much in the social networks, and we should talk about that for a while. Dan's got stuff to say about that too.
Yeah.
You know, the left, right. I mean, I don't have that much of this kind of threat anymore, actual threats, but I've had, because I've gotten really good at blocking people. I have over 100 people blocked on Facebook. As soon as somebody gets really in my face ad hominem, I block them. They're gone. It's, you know, I consider like my pages on a social network to be like my living room, and you can't come in my living room and call me names to my face. You can disagree with me. And my proof of that, I really walk this talk, is that I have blocked, you know, deist, libertarian, anarcho-capitalist, which is exactly what I am. I have blocked people that agree with me 100% on everything that's important, but they've been pricks to me. And I have people who are not blocked who are literally straight up like Che Guevara worshiping socialists, but they're polite to me.
Right. Yeah. You know? I mean, it's all about being civil. I mean, it really is. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to end up like Gore Vidal and Buckley and I've just be threats, obsessed though. And I mean, angry like, for the rest of your life.
I've had people, you know, I've been talking to a union member and talked about how, you know, unions may have had their place back in the day when, you know, employers were machine gunning workers, but unions have gone too far and become, you know, kind of what they were originally against, and they harm the economy and they're backed by government guns. And some union member in Chicago that was talking to me was like, you know, he said, I'm going to find out where you live and cut off your head and blank down your neck. Like, that is not civil conversation, man. And I've had a few dozen interactions like that with people where people are just like, I'm going to kill you because you disagree with me. I guess the internet is kind of new in a way to people. Like most of civilization, the slaves couldn't talk to each other, and now they can. So, you know, occasionally they'll just get outrageous.
Yeah, but, and they feel free to say things that they would never in a million years probably say to your face.
Yeah. Dan, do you have any stories like that?
I like see what you were saying there. I mean, like, I would never say anything online that I wouldn't say to someone's face. I actually think it's kind of pathetic when you see some people who, these people that talk a big game online, it's clear that they wouldn't do that in real life. It's just, you know, it's perfectly easy for them when they're hiding behind a computer screen, you know, and you see that all the time. And it's just, it is actually kind of pathetic. You see, like, see all that thing as well about, like, oh, I'm going to come and cut your head off because you disagree with me or whatever. I mean, that's when you've got nothing intelligent to say. And then surely if your argument was that powerful, you wouldn't have to resolve to that kind of carry on.
Well, it also kind of proves what I was saying about unions, you know, that they've become thuggish and backed by government guns. And he's like, I'll come over and cut your head off.
Yeah. I haven't actually been threatened with physical violence, but I've been called a daughter of Satan.
Well, you are.
If you can believe that. From I profess to be a, you know, believer and everything, and I don't have any like qualms about that. This other person,
a believer, and you're a Christian. You're not.
Yeah, I'm a Christian.
Satanist.
Yeah. And no, I'm not a Satanist. Yes. Yes, I do believe in my Lord and Father Satan. but that's, I mean, I kind of had a little bit of an argument on Facebook with the brother of a Facebook friend who, you know, I got on there and I said, yeah, that maybe the best way to deal with people that don't agree with you or are doing something that you don't like would not be to call them names.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
For some reason in this country, and in most of the Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FeenPhone.com, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Yep, we're back.
During the break, Diana, I was saying, I need to buy some bulletproof armor. I was listening to the ads, and Diana's like, yeah, before it's completely outlawed. And then I'm like, Dan, this conversation doesn't make sense to you, huh? That's not on your shopping list over there in the UK, is it?
It's not really, no.
How about some dog-proof knickers? Even the police don't wear it.
The police wear stab-proof vests, but they don't have much of a need for the bulletproof ones, funnily enough.
Yeah, well, interesting. A lot of bulletproof vests are not stab or slash-proof, too. But
yeah, I guess at close range with a lot of power behind it, probably wouldn't do much against a big old Bowie knife or something. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. So before I was so rudely interrupted by the break, yeah. I was talking about a really interesting and distressing interchange I had on Facebook with someone that when it had to do with an abortion clinic and not the shooting, like the recent shooting in Colorado Springs, but it had to do with some churches or something that got together and decided to go and like bless the abortion clinic or something, which I think that's silly, whatever. I don't agree with that. But the person that was posting about it, called them, I think, worshipers of murder or something like that. And I couldn't help but comment, maybe that's a little strong. Maybe you might want to consider the person's context. Maybe, look at these people as people. You know what I mean? Like think, my thing is I try to look at a person's heart. I try to look at the context. Why are they doing what they're doing? And this person's brother proceeds to come on there and start, accusing me of wanting to have a conversation with Hitler to find out, why he would do what he would do. Basically said that I was the daughter of the father of lies. I basically remained civil the whole time. But it was just, it just blew me away. And I didn't say anything hostile to this person at all, and he chose to block me.
Well, that's just right. What's really disturbing to me is people that think you don't have the right to block them.
I've run into
a few people like that.
I don't care that he blocked me. It was just kind of like, whoa.
Liberals. So liberals tend to not let you block them, and they'll go around your block and try to find a way to communicate with you. And it's really scary to me because it feels like if those people got into power, part of their misconception, if they got into ultimate power, Bernie mm-hmm. Sanders is, the emperor and high priestess of America or something, that they would misinterpret free speech as meaning you have to sit in a chair and listen to what we have to say. Literally, I really think that they would encourage some mm-hmm. form of re-education camps.
Nobody would be allowed to use any sort of offensive speech because then who defines the offensive speech,
It's getting to the point where anybody opening their mouth is offensive speech to some people. I mean, in a way that if you said that 5 years ago, I would have, it's gotten a lot further in 5 years. It's got to the point where pretty much anything a white male says is offensive to anybody who's not a white male, and to white males, cucks,
check who your are privilege.
The privilege who go along with it. So I basically think it's come down to 48% of the of America wants to exterminate the other 48% of America in both directions. And there's 4% that just want to be left alone. That's us. For the 4%ers.
Yeah, I just want to be left alone. I don't care if you block me. I'm not gonna come after you because you say something that offends me on Facebook. I'm just gonna, and I won't necessarily block you as a person if you choose to have an interaction with me. I'm not gonna put you on my block list, but I can block you from my news feed, so I'm not necessarily seeing all the crap you're putting out there that is to me a tantamount to trolling for the most part.
Think about the fact that that's called a news feed, and most of it's not news, most of it's opinion, and
right.
Those people are called friends on Facebook, and most of them are not friends.
Yeah.
Dan, what do you think? Chime in. You haven't talked much, Dan.
I used to unfollow people as well quite a lot. Because you get people that post the same old rubbish all the time.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. Unfollow, yeah.
Even as well, see people that just, they think they're being dead intelligent, and all they've done is, paraphrase Murray Rothbard, and then they're trying to dress it up as their own opinion in a massive Facebook post. Just get a blog that no one will read instead.
I'm really sick of that. I know. Yeah, man.
I can't read all this. I just can't.
When I post
that's
something
one reason
clever,
I like Twitter.
When I post something clever about the police, and then somebody posts something factual, well, the police are basically a violent gang. I'm like, you newly minted libertarian, of course that's true. Go away. You're not winning points with me.
You can tell the noobs.
Yeah.
Wow.
were all noobs at some point.
Not me. I was born an anarchist.
Well, yeah.
I think
we probably all were, but I think that...
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Meow, meow. So this is the Freedom Fiends, and we're back. We're back with Dan, the Scottish man, and Michael Dean and Diana, the Laughing Kitty. And I have a letter here that was written to Michael that asked me to read.
Nice.
And it's from a gentleman by the name of Mike Gordon. I assume he's a gentleman. I'll call him a gentleman. I'll assume that until I know better. But anyway, so Mike writes, I bought your video, DIY or Die, and I took some of your advice. This last year, I had 4 photography gallery shows in 1 year. I've never done more than 1 show in 2 years before. Heck, I even came out $11.37 ahead last show.
Nice.
Anyhow.
That's success in my book.
Yeah, exactly, if you made a profit. Anyhow, yeah. I'm just writing to say thank you. You've helped us. You've helped us for doing this again. If you want, visit my website, and the website is madmanmikey.com. Take care and continued success to you, Mike Gordon, Madman Mikey. So definitely,
I like
check out his website.
It's good. Yeah, check it out. And yeah, I get letters like this all the time, and I never read them. Or almost never read them on the show. And I wanted to read this on the show just to show that I do stuff other than radio, I guess. He's referring to a movie that I made in 2001. I think it came out. It's called DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. And it's a sweet little movie. It's very low budget. Spent $5,000 making it, including traveling around the country. And... made it without even owning a camera. Like I borrowed cameras. I got people to film for me. You know, I couldn't afford a camera then. Back then, you know, a standard def video camera was like $3,000. You know, now everyone's $70 cell phone has a better camera than that in it, better video camera than that in it. But, yeah, man, I jumped early on the bandwagon of digital filmmaking, like before there was YouTube, before everybody owned a camera, before cameras were everywhere. I really wanted to make this film, and I made this film, and, you know, it's about DIY art, do-it-yourself art, and I made it as an act of do-it-yourself art, and I was, you know, going by the skin of my teeth, like not knowing how it was going to get finished, but knowing what it was going to look like as I was making it. So you can go on YouTube and check that out, DIY or Die, How to Survive as an Independent Artist. And I think our editor, Scott, will probably link that too. He can look it up and link the it's up there as like 8 different chapters. Because back then, like even with non-high-def video, like you couldn't make a movie and upload all of it at once on YouTube. Like YouTube would let you if you're author, if you, you know, jump through their hoops, but like nobody had a computer connection that was solid enough to do that without it crapping out, you know? So I had to do it in chapters.
Yeah. So wasn't this movie recently reviewed by some French people, some French?
Oh yeah, there's a video. Yeah. There's a video of some young, pretty people in France sitting around talking in French about this movie, and I don't even know what they're saying. I asked somebody, and they said that they liked it, but that's about it. Mm-hmm. I did show it in France. I traveled to France and showed it. I toured Europe with it, and toured America with it, and like. I really liked that this guy said he made $11 at his 4 gallery showings profit, because I made, you know, I made probably $1,100 I probably made $11 a show showing this movie for a year, you know, and people, some people would say, well, that's a gross failure. And I'm like, no, man, that's a success. I mean, I'm someone who thinks that if you write a good song and play it with your friends, it's a success, and anything beyond that is gravy, especially to the point of, like, you know, getting it out there or having public showings of it. But, you know, it's a whole nother level of success to make something good and have people come look at it and end up with, you know, enough money for a couple burritos when you're over. That's real success to me. And the Freedom Fiends, that's about how we operate. So if you want to buy some buttons, go click on the button link on the freedomfiends.com site. Or if you want to make a donation, it helps. We vacillate between losing money and making $11 a month, probably. So, and I do a lot of stuff with money that's cool that I can't even talk about on radio, like buy people equipment to, anyway, never mind. So let's go back to, and I give away a lot of buttons because I really believe that if everyone in the world had a set of Freedom Fiends buttons, we'd be at LibPair.
Okay, so I was wearing one of those buttons at work the
Which
other
one?
Day. I have
tell.
Question obedience. I was actually wearing the question obedience one. I was wearing the,
I don't think that's a Freedom Fiends button.
No?
That's something that Bill, Bill
Buper did.
Used to say,
and yeah, it's not.
But
specific.
I didn't know there were buttons.
Not, yeah, there's a button for it. I didn't realize it wasn't a Freedom Fiend.
It should be
because it came. Well, it came with like a package of buttons from you guys.
Really?
Yeah, or probably from a Davi.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, did you order stuff from Davi?
Yeah. That, well, like this former friend of mine did, and I had access to them. Not former friend. I shouldn't say that.
Wow. Okay, so like you got some comments?
No. Okay, I'll just say that he's not a former friend. He's my former boyfriend, but anyway.
So you got some comments. Well, let's hear about the buttons. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I got. Oh, okay. So yeah. So I got a comment about the button, question obedience, and he was like, "Wow, that's cool, man." He's like, "But I thought it was question authority." And I said, "Well, yeah, you definitely question authority, but you should also question obedience. You know, why
you should
are you
question
obeying?
Obedience more? Because
who are
without
you obeying?
Obedience,
right?
Authority, you know, authority has no authority.
Has yeah, exactly. So, and then I had the bad Quaker button on there, and the little 3D printed gun on there.
Is there an image on the question obedience button? I can't find it online.
Yeah, there's a. It's like a fist with chains.
Huh.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, but anyway, yeah, buttons are good because people, you know, people see them and they wonder about them. Yeah, I had a friend also gave a friend of mine a Worms button, and she wore it on her little key thingy for quite a while. I'm not sure she's still wearing it, but she did for a while. Yep. So.
All right. So, topic: social media, and why does everyone scream at each other and want to put each other into gulags? Dan.
In terms of the buttons, I was just going to say I like to rock the Fiend Phone one, the one with the wee tower on it. I often wear that. It's a cool button. But social
the
media,
wee tower.
Why, the wee tower,
the wee tower.
Social media, my everyone's insane. Because they've largely got nothing better to do. I think a lot of people are sort of frustrated with themselves, you know, and they find an easy way to vent that is to sit on a computer and shout at other people. And I think as well, like, I've noticed a lot really lately that a lot of people live in a constant state of fear. And they might not even realize that their lives are completely driven by fear.
Yeah.
And that gets, I mean, see when you see a dog that's that will just start barking and is aggressive towards you, it's usually because it's scared. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way it knows what to do.
And you said
and
that
it's the same.
As a mailman, dogs only attack you if you're in your mailman outfit. Right?
That's true. Yeah.
They recognize an agent of the state.
Because they're scared of my government prowess. Can I just say, though, see, for all Chris Cantwell's rhetoric about, you know, shooting mailmen and all this, I would love to see him come and try and deliver mail in a Scottish winter for 5 hours. Then he would know all about it.
I don't think that guy can walk a block in good weather. He doesn't look like he could. And I'm the guy who's like on death's door, like looking at him going, I'll bet I could outrun him in a quarter mile. He got so out of shape. All right. So, Dan, tell me more about the internets and where they touched you.
They touched me all over.
Now, and why Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist. Barack Obama's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink. All right, go on.
Well, I used to have like one of two sort of things, because I came off Facebook, you know, and it's so hard to come, I was saying to Diana, it's so hard to come away from Facebook, because it's like you're leaving them and they take it personally, you know.
I know. It takes 2 weeks. You can't just leave your account. I had 3,500 friends on there a few years ago, and I deleted my account and was gone for over a year, and then just snuck back like a relapsing junkie. And it was, you can't leave in one sitting. You have to, it actually takes 2 weeks to leave. You have to decommission your account, which is what they try to offer you for if you're just overwhelmed and you might come back. You have to decommission it, and you cannot log in even once. If you log in even once, it resets the 2 weeks. So wow. you have to not log in for 2 weeks, yeah. And then you can go back and delete your account.
God, that's almost as hard as leaving
the U.S.
It's
like a stalker ex-girlfriend or something.
It's like leaving a spouse and them going, you know what? I'll leave the key under the front door, right. And I'll have dinner ready. And if you ever want to come back, the lights will be on, and you just come right on in.
Yeah, except it's not Facebook being a pushover. It's Facebook being a parasite. Because you know, whenever everything's free, you are the product. You realize that, right?
Yeah.
At least like Google Android phones, where you are the product because they're using everything to like gather all your intel. At least it's useful. Facebook's just a waste of time.
I mean, the thing is,
and yet we're still on it.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Dan's not.
With the exception of Dan,
are you suspended? Have you suspended yourself?
I guess suspended. I've suspended myself. Yeah.
He went through the whole rigmarole. He went through the whole like questionnaire process and everything, and actually managed to get out of it. But the funny thing to me are the people that threaten to get off Facebook all the time and they never do.
That's like the kid that wants to take his ball and go home. Like he, yeah. No, when I left Facebook, I didn't do a long post on, oh, woe is me, this is harming me. I did a post that said, hey, I'm going. If you want to find me, you can find me at the Freedom Fiend site. Take care. Because I wanted to like leave a forwarding address basically for a minute. But I couldn't really do that. I had to do that 2 weeks earlier, you know. I had to do that and then not look at anyone's response for 2 weeks. I'd have a friend send me a screenshot. So,
you know what? Facebook actually made me disgusted with myself, because I'd hardly ever post anything, and then maybe I would post something and then it wouldn't get any likes. And then I'd find myself going, well, why is that not getting any likes? That guy put something up that was really similar. And then I would just catch myself doing this and I'd be so disgusted. I'd feel all dirty and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, the algorithms of Facebook.
Or the fact
that
you're even concerned about getting likes. It's like, I don't know, that makes me feel.
Here's what I think. I mean, it's not pathetic to want something you say to be seen. Otherwise, you wouldn't say it. But the algorithms on there basically all try to push you now to buy ads to have your friends who like you see your stuff.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Meow, meow. Meow. We're back.
Talk live tonight?
I did not.
Ian was on fire.
Oh, yeah?
It was great. I mean, not literally. Not like as if he had a million-watt radio transmitter outside his window and he could just light his joints by holding a joint out the window and toward the antenna 200 feet away and it would just light the end of the joint. Not that kind of on fire. Well, I had a dream the other night that I loved, and I don't know if I've even told Ian about this, but I've tweeted about it. I can't tell if I'm tweeting to Ian or to the Ian parody account sometimes. So I had this dream that it was Libertarian Paradise. Governments were gone. FCC was gone. And Ian had a 1 million watt radio transmitter in a treehouse in the woods of New Hampshire. But it was like, it wasn't like the normal woods of New Hampshire. It was like a rainforest. Like he was like 300 feet up in this tree. And he had this million watt transmitter that could transmit all the way to California and could, like, you know, he would microwave burritos by putting them on the windowsill, like pointing them at the antenna. And probably anyone who went in his studio was sterile. But I was in his studio with him. It was just him and me. And we were just cussing just on the air. Like, and he's like, he got sick of it really quick. And I'm like, no, I want to cuss for another hour. And we did. And he was smoking weeds and I was not. And I was, you know, we were doing like freeform radio. It wasn't Freedom Fiends. It wasn't Free Talk Live. It was like, I don't know, we were mixing stuff on turntables and reading poems backwards and, you know, having his dog talk on the radio. And yeah, it was fun, man. I mean, really, you know, what would we talk about if the government were out of the way? I mean, I say that Freedom Fiends is that show, but no, not totally. Maybe more so than Free Talk Live. I feel like Free Talk Live is really good, solid radio, especially for people who are new to the concepts. Like, they bring in a lot of people, you know, they are the first experience of liberty to a lot of people. And I kind of feel like the Freedom Fiends are kind of like, okay, once you've had a million arguments about the non-aggression principle and you've internalized it and you just want to have fun, then you graduate to the Freedom Fiends. Well, this show he and I were doing in my dream was what you'd graduate to after the Freedom Fiends and after the government's really gone. And it was pretty cool. And it could cook your burrito and light your joint. So what do you
talk about in Lib Pair, though?
I don't know. We're talking about his dog a lot, actually.
Okay.
We're petting his
and
dog
cussing.
And getting him to bark and cussing. Yeah, so it's just dogs and cussing, I guess. Yeah.
Anyway, there just seems like there's a lot of angry people on.
I didn't finish.
Sorry.
Ian was on fire today. Ian was like the best Free Talk Live shows, obviously, are the ones that are Mark and Ian and a third person. In general, those are the best ones. You know, both the original guys and someone else to bounce stuff off of who's kind of there and into trying to get in a word in edgewise. So those are the best shows. But today was the best show I've ever seen that was not Mark. It was Ian and Rich Paul.
And
Rich Paul can be really good sometimes. But I swear, for the first hour, I think he was asleep on the radio. I was watching on the cam feed, and he looked like he was nodding asleep, like literally asleep, like meditating on the air. And about once every minute, he'd go, to whatever Ian was saying. And I think he was sleep broadcasting. I really do. I think he was asleep on the radio. And it was all Ian. Ian, for the first hour, was just dropping mad science about the Silk Road and the Silk Road 2.0 and the guy who just got arrested that was connected maybe with the Silk Road. And Ian was just on fire. I was so proud of him. He was really doing it up. and yeah, man, it was. I won't say it was rare. I mean, because they're generally really good, Free Talk Live. Mm-hmm. They're not as good. I mean, they've lost a bunch of co-hosts who are really good. Like, Derek J left. Derek J, actually, the best shows, I think, ever were the ones with Mark, Ian, and Derek J in the room.
Yeah.
But Ian won't do the Fiend Phone thing. His whole thing is getting boots on the ground in New Hampshire. So he would rather have, you know, Rich Paul asleep in the room with him, you know, snoring and going, you know, then have like someone like Derek J fiend phoning in. And Rich Paul is really good when he's awake. He just happened to be asleep today. So it was weird. All right, moving on. Why do 48% of Americans want to commit genocide on the other 48% of Americans and vice versa? And we are part of the 4% that just want to be left alone.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Yes.
Hello. Where are we going? For this last half hour.
Okay. So, for the first time since 1920, there was an editorial on the cover of the New York Times, and it's called "End the Gun Epidemic in America."
Did you see what the last one was? Did you click on the link? It was for like everyone must vote for this president. It was like a president I don't even know if I've heard of. It's like Harding.
Like,
or something.
In 1920, yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's this whole editorial, and there's an article, though, that was written in rebuttal to this editorial written by Claire Wolf on the website The Zelman Partisans. And, basically she, rips it to shreds. And, it's what's funny to me is she starts off by saying, okay, it's not exactly news that the New York Times spouts nonsense, especially when it comes to guns and gun rights. But when the senile old hag, and it's marked through when she wrote that, the venerable gray lady prints an editorial on its front page for the first time in 95 years. And that editorial obviously sparked by this week's jihadi teen murders in California, is 100% dedicated to spewing obvious silliness on guns. It's worthy of note. First time in 95 years.
Yeah, and all the anti-gun stuff is backfiring, and all it's doing is making more people go out and buy guns.
Yeah.
There've been I think Black Friday, is that what it's called? The Friday after
Thanksgiving? Black Friday. Yeah.
Yeah. Black Friday had the highest number of gun background searches for purchases in America ever in one day. Now, that is a metric that is used for measuring gun sales, and another metric that's used for gun ownership is that and or concealed carry permit issuance. But I would say it's probably even higher because there's a lot of states where you can purchase a gun without a background check in a private sale or at a gun show. And there are states, I think there's four or five of them now, including where I live in Wyoming, where you can conceal carry a gun without a permit. And again, Dan's brain is just exploding on this. He can't leave the house with a penknife, can you?
Yeah, I think they do have concealed carry in Colorado. I do think you need a permit, though. Yep. And it also, I think that you can't have like any kind of medicinal marijuana card or something like that.
That's how they get
you. In Colorado. Yeah,
if you got cancer, you can't treat that cancer with the best thing probably for treating cancer. Under certain circumstances, like I became a libertarian because my daughter was dying of leukemia. She's dead now, and she died of leukemia, and she was getting chemo, and she was breaking the law to smoke pot at the recommendation of a doctor after never having smoked pot before in her life. She didn't like pot. She didn't like people who smoked pot. She didn't hang out with them. She was kind of a square church girl in a good way. But she smoked pot to deal with the nausea of getting chemo.
Yeah.
And the thought that somebody could throw her in a cage for that made me start caring about laws and about rights.
Right.
And, you know, so in Colorado, Colorado's messed up in a lot of ways. I mean, they, kudos to Colorado. It's the first place in the world that's legalized marijuana, literally.
Yeah.
A lot of places have decriminalized it. You know, someone could say, well, Amsterdam, nope, pot is technically illegal in Amsterdam, but they let you break the law. It's not legal there, and they reserve the right to arrest you for it.
Yeah, it's actually decriminalized in Portugal. I think all drugs are decriminalized in Portugal. Yeah.
Yep. And Mexico decriminalized small, tiny amounts of all drugs recently. Yeah, but, you know, Colorado, you know, it's good on pot, sort of, but the government rushed in to regulate it and tax it to death. And, you know, it has pretty good gun laws compared to most East and West Coast places, but not really. And they don't have, what's the thing called, preemption? I forget what it's called. But in Wyoming, it's illegal for any state or county to pass a gun law that's more restrictive than the state gun laws. That's not true in Colorado. Like, open carry is legal in a lot of the state, but it's illegal, I think, in Denver and Boulder. I know it's illegal. I know it's illegal in Rifle, Colorado, which is kind of ironic. That's a tiny town where it looks like everyone would carry a rifle on their back.
Yeah. But
yeah. And, you know, I mean, just look at the mass shooting record in Colorado and look at the, you know, like there were two last month. And just look at the fact that the last mass shooting in Wyoming was 110 years ago, and it was over sheep. So I don't know what's wrong with y'all down there in Colorado.
Well,
and you have moved to Colorado. Have we even mentioned that? You were living in North Carolina last time we had you on the show. Welcome to the wild woolly west.
Yeah, I know. And I'm, so far, so good. I'm still working on meeting people and stuff like that. But I don't know. It's, to me, the, just the beauty of the state. I have the most amazing view I've ever, like, I never dreamed I would ever have a view like this. It just, it blows me away. I can see, I can see just the very peak of Pikes Peak from where I am. But yeah, I mean, I've got a full view of Cheyenne Mountain pretty much. Which I believe is where NORAD used to be.
Yeah, I think it still is.
Yeah, but anyway, so...
I'm sending you a link. I'm sending you the link to denver.libertyontherocks.org.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard
I interviewed this guy one time. Basically, it's like people get together and go out and have drinky-poos. I don't think you drink, but you can go have a Coke and soda pop with these people. In Denver, I think they do it often. So
yeah, it's Denver's about an hour away from me. I have been looking for groups around here. There's only one so far that I found on Meetup is the Libertarian Party of Colorado. Ugh.
You should just go turn them all into anarchists. So Claire Wolf, we're talking about Claire Wolf and her her rebuttal.
Right.
We like Claire Wolf. She's a friend of the Fiends, and you know. She is like OG, like original gangster, more than anybody that I can think of. I mean, she's been writing books on liberty since like, I don't know, at least for 15 years. Since 1999. Well, I think she did before that. She has a book in from 1999 called Don't Shoot the Bastards Yet. 101 More Ways to Salvage Freedom. Yeah, that's a follow-up to something else she said. Because she said, 1996, 101 things to do till the revolution. She said, America is at that awkward stage. It's too late to work within the system, but too early to shoot the bastards. So, Dan, what do you think? Dan?
Where is Dan?
I think the national health came and took him away.
Yeah.
All right. So tell me more.
Okay. So there's this one excerpt from this editorial, which I think is kind of hilarious. It goes on to say, opponents of gun control are saying, as they do after every killing, that no law can unfailingly forestall a specific criminal. That is true. They are talking, many with sincerity, about the constitutional challenges to effective gun regulation. Those challenges exist. They point out that determined killers obtained weapons illegally in places like France, England, and Norway that have strict gun laws. Yes, they did. But at least those countries are trying. The United States is not. And Claire Wolf says, quote, at least those countries are trying. So let me get this straight. As long as you make a really sincere try at things that deprive people of freedom while doing absolutely zero, nothing, nada, zip, bupkis to protect lives, it's okie dokie. It's good. Bupkis, I know. Take even more freedom. Leave people vulnerable to even more death. It's all to the good as long as you do something.
Yeah, people do feel that way, I think. Yeah. You know,
at least you try. At least you get your little participation trophy.
You know, the
fiend phone.
The guns that were used in Paris in that shooting. I mean, France is one big gun free zone. The whole country.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They were not purchased at a gun store in France. They were not purchased at a gun store in. You know, those are Russian Kalashnikovs, full auto, that, you know, probably have been in a bunker in Afghanistan until they got smuggled into France.
Yeah. Dan's back.
You know, hey, Dan. You know, I guarantee those guns had nothing to do with the legal gun system, you know, the way that people are trying to outlaw in America and add background checks and things like that. And the guns that were used in France never touched the legal gun system. You know, they went from like being used against Afghanistan by Russia during the Cold War to, you know, being sold out the back door as the Soviet Union was collapsing to God knows where they were until they ended up in France. Hey, Dan, what happened to you?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, we said the National Health Cabin took you away for doing radio. Yeah.
I think they did.
You got sectioned.
See what you were talking about there? I mean, look, at guns are illegal in the UK, right? But the IRA had full-on military hardware. Mm-hmm. It didn't stop them. They had a proper arsenal of weapons and all sorts of things.
Yeah,
Do they still have it? Are they still a thing?
Well, there's these kind of splinter groups now. I mean, officially, like after the peace process and that, like the Provisional IRA disbanded, but there's all these little groups and they now call dissident Republicans is the new term they use for them. They're not the same as what they used to be, not even remotely. I think the real IRA are still about, that's what they call themselves.
The real IRA, yeah.
The real IRA.
They talked about the real IRA on Sons of Anarchy.
Why? Were selling them guns?
They were part of the show, yeah. Well, actually, they were getting guns from the real IRA.
I don't know if the real IRA sells
stuff.
I don't think the IRA sells guns. What do you think, Dan?
Well, on Sons of Anarchy, they
buy guns.
They might now. I mean, I don't know. But, like, I know they were getting them from all kinds of places. I mean, they were getting them from Gaddafi and stuff at one point.
Yeah, he openly armed them. The original IRA is featured in a plot line that's more believable than Sons of Anarchy one in Boardwalk Empire during
I still haven't seen
Prohibition
that.
In America. Yeah, the Irish bootlegger in America is Irish American bootlegger is getting guns for the IRA and trading whiskey or vice versa or something. Trading guns for actual Irish whiskey.
Wow.
And smuggling them in in with corpses.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed.
but they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And we have a new feature. Feature. No, a new feature is we have a streaming link that plays 24/7 a random loop of all 830 Freedom Fiends episodes. So it's kind of like if you want to brainwash yourself and listen to Freedom Fiends for a few days. And people do. I look at the stats on this. There's generally only like between 5 and 10 people on it, but like half of those people are on for days. So I think people are just brainwashing, or maybe they've captured liberals. They have them tied up in their closet and they're using it to re-education camp them. But if you go to freedomfiends.com, over on the left sidebar, there's a picture of a woman in a Fiends t-shirt. It's our friend Iva from Croatia. And that will work on an iPhone or an iPad or a Windows computer. And then there's a special link for Amazon below that. I mean, for Android below that. There's a little Android link, little Android symbol. You can go to that over on the left sidebar, and that'll take you to show you how to set it up for Android. So we were talking during the break. I said I want the last segment to be all Dan all the time. But what did you say, Dan?
I'm not even all Dan all the time when I'm by myself. It's true.
Well, if you want to give a closing statement here, closing arguments about the left-right fake dichotomy and how people want to kill each other over it and they should not, go ahead, man.
That's actually come out a bit more here because the current leader of the Labour Party is a fellow called Jeremy Corbyn, and he's an actual socialist, not like one of those Tony Blair fake socialists. He's a proper socialist, and it's sort of coming out a bit now because he's quite anti-war, and he's been like against the bombing of Syria, even though it's gone through, been quite openly. So, like, there is this kind of thing, but, like, I mean, a lot of his positions have become quite diluted since he became the Labour Party leader. You know, he's clinging on by his bare knuckles to the last bits of principles that he's got left, but, you know, it's people are still igniting this whole thing now, all these kind of... It's same with Scotland. We've got the Scottish National Party, who are pretty socialist, but in an authoritarian way. So, like, the left is resurging, and now you have the right as well, who are all... It's all coming out to a head about war, basically, now. You know, the people that want to see Britain great again and let's bomb everybody, and then the left that want to love everybody.
Well, when I was a kid, the left in America, the voters, the young left voters, were anti-war, and that kind of tricked people into thinking that the Democratic Party was anti-war. The Democratic Party was never anti-war, and... What was the guy that was in office before Nixon when I was...
Johnson.
LBJ, yeah. That guy was a horrible warmonger. Mm-hmm. He was also a horrible racist, it turns out. But, yeah, that guy was no friend of peace. He wanted to keep things going as much as he could and may have had Kennedy killed. We don't know. That's the theory. No, I'm not going to say that. He'll sue people. He sues people. His family sues people for saying things like that. But that's a theory. I can say that. Dan, is that how it is there, too? The voters were anti-war, but the politicians were not.
Well, it's been kind of strange here, like, lately with this kind of Syria thing, because a lot of people, particularly since the Paris thing, I mean, I didn't think people would be so up for going to war again after the Iraq war and things like that, but since the sort of Paris attacks, there is quite a number of people who think, oh, we need to bomb these people, and that whole feeling's coming up again. Although, me personally, I mean, Scotland tends to be a bit more on the left to the rest of the UK, and most of the people that I talk to generally don't think that bombing Syria is a good idea, but you get some people who they think that hooligans. That's going to sort everything out.
Hooligans, know, just football hooligans.
We were talking about anger and fear. It's a fear reaction, you know. That's what it is.
Well, within 24 hours of the shootings in Paris, France was killing innocent people in Syria.
Yeah,
because they bombed a place, it was a stadium that had been taken over by ISIS and was being used as a jail. So anybody that ISIS is putting in jail is probably innocent. At least some of them are. I mean, they're putting people in jail for like drinking alcohol or not praying loudly right. enough five times a day.
Or having the wrong poster on their storefront.
Yeah. So they're you know, France killed innocent, probably Muslims and Christians within 24 hours, and that didn't solve anything.
It doesn't.
Thanks, guys. Been a great
yeah.
show.
Really
I can
has.
See my blood pressure's up or down. Yeah, the show's on.
Well, oh, is it still running?
Oh, yeah, still running. Has to squeeze my arm till the juice runs down my leg.
Squeezes your arm till the juice runs down your leg.
Yeah, the heart juice in my veins.
Oh, the heart juice.
Mmm, heart juice.